welcome to episode 54 of Divided by Werewolves. I'm here. Mitch is here. It is the end of August. Can you believe it's the end of August?
No, but thank God.
It is. Are your kids back in school yet?
Yeah, they've been back. This is the second full week.
Okay. All right. Yeah, it's like the third or so for us. And of course, they have a half day tomorrow, so, you know, don't want to.
Oh, do they? Mine don't. They're all day.
Yeah. No, they don't. You know, it's very important in Georgia that they don't learn too much. You know, we want to make sure that. make sure that they make the right voting decisions. Any case. So we have a lot to talk about. We have a lot of movies to talk about. Some briefly, some not so briefly. But before we do that, on the games front, so I'm kind of in between things right now. So you know, Spider-Man comes out a week, and Divinity: Original Sin comes out tomorrow. And Autistic had sent me these really awesome tips of like how to play the game, and one of them was, check this badass shit out. If any of your one of the character classes is undead, so can make like an undead character, and if you build up their lock picking skill enough, their fingers become unbreakable infinite lock picks.
Oh shit.
So I was like, well, fuck, man, I need to play that as soon as it comes out. But then I was, you know, talking with Amore, and he's like, I don't think you should start it. You should wait, because if you're going to switch to Spider-Man, like, there's decisions you make early in the game that if you step away from it for a while, then you won't remember when it comes up again in the story. I was like, God damn it, he's right. So, you know, I'm kind of in between things. So I've been, you know, kind of working through my VR backlog at night. And I know from a streaming perspective, I'm sure it's not all that exciting, but I finished Farpoint last night, and that was really good. Like, I got, you know, with any game that I enjoy, if I get frustrated. But I enjoyed it. You know, I will say at the end there that it does tend to spike in difficulty, but then it's not the same kind of spike, because you also have like VR to contend with, and the potential of your controller not quite mapping up. Like, imagine a normal spike in difficulty, but also every time you tried to aim, it was like 6 inches to the left. You know? Yeah, like, right. Like RoboCop. You know, like, so that just kind of compounds it. So there was at the end a fair amount of me just running towards what I hoped would be the next checkpoint. But definitely worth playing. I tried to do matchmaking, but there was, you know, as you can imagine, there's like nobody playing. And you know, Jace has been pushing that Firewall Zero Hour on us, and I really would love to play it. I don't mean it like he's being insistent with something I don't have an interest in. I think it would be awesome. It's just you do, you know, get concerned about how long, you know, what kind of, you know, player base there's going to be to get into a matchmaking type of thing, and how long it's going to be there for.
And to be perfectly honest with that game, I didn't realize, I thought it was like a traditional, or what I would consider my traditional VR experience so far, which was mainly single player. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize it was a online shooter.
Yeah, 4-player co-op, 4v4.
Like, I was cool with like this, like the co-op stuff, like the, when it was like playing Terrorist Hunts in Rainbow Six. Sign me up for that shit all day long. But like, I can't play versus in Rainbow Six with a controller in my hand.
Yeah.
I don't know that. I certainly don't think I can do it in VR very well.
I would love to play it. I'll probably rent it, and I would love to play it just to see, because it's supposed to be more tactical. So it's like, you know, if a couple hits and you're down. Like, how do they allow one person to play with an aim controller and one person to play with a regular controller? Do they make everybody use, you know, either the moves or an aim? You know, like, and then is there some sort of like, you know, kind of snap to aiming, like, because it's different when you're like fighting aliens and maybe you just get frustrated, right? But like you said, if you're playing, if three other people are relying on you being able to aim, okay,
yeah.
But I definitely want to check it out. I did play the Persistence demo though, and that shit was bananas. That was great. So
I enjoyed that. I haven't bought it yet. just because I went kind of crazy with buying shit.
Mm-hmm.
But I did play the demo, and it's on my list.
Yeah, yeah, me too. So that's on my list. Moss is on my list. We have the free one, the Here They Lie.
I started that one. That game so far has given me the biggest like jump scare of anything I've played.
So I typically, like, if I know I'm going to play VR, I don't bring my phone with me all the time, which is why, like, sometimes when we're playing Overwatch or something and you text me, I don't respond. It's not because I'm, like, in the moment. I just – my phone's upstairs.
Yeah.
So but if I know I'm going to be playing VR, I'll bring it with me because that way I can set an alarm when it's time to be finished. But in Farpoint, the nice thing is when you're holding the gun, on your left wrist, the underside of your left wrist is your health meter and a clock. So I haven't been needing it, but I finished it last night. So I was like, okay, I'm going to, you know, play the demo disc. And I said, all right, we have one of the Echo taps that we keep down in the basement to listen to music if we're playing pool or whatever down here. So I said, hey, you know, set an alarm for 8:00. Well, I forgot that we had been months ago, they put out all these like celebrity alarms, and one of them is Alec Baldwin. So I'm in the Persistence, like going through these fucking corridors, trying not to get murdered by zombies. And all of a sudden I hear, "Wake up, sunshine." And I was like, ah! Yeah, so don't do that. But I definitely want to play Here They Lie. So I'm going to try out Skyrim. I don't have a desire to play Skyrim again. It came with the bundle. I'd like to see, you know, kind of how it plays. You know, I'm trying to get a bunch of stuff that I know I'm not going to play, you know, ready to trade in once the Spidey PlayStation drops. But so I definitely am going to try it. But it's just, it's more of a novelty than anything else. But yeah, I think Here They Lie will probably be kind of the next thing, except that between you and all this shit I'm reading, I am kind of now going, yeah, I think I'm going to pick up Forsaken. Mostly because I miss playing games with you. Like we played games together for a while and then we both kind of went our separate ways, and I would like to get back, you know, and the best way to do that is once there's Destiny blood in the water to jump on it.
This is true. So I do want to go back to Monster Hunter.
Yeah, me too. I haven't gotten rid of it. In fact, the other day I saw that they had like a sale where it was digital for like $35 and I was like, well, yeah, I could trade it in. I was like, no, you don't need to trade. Like, why are you going to trade it in and lose money? Like, that makes no sense. But, yeah, I mean, I would too. But I was like, you know what? What I like about Destiny is playing Destiny with other people. And I think that's the biggest difference. I think, you know, when I played Destiny 1, like, I played with Petey all the time, and we played together too. And then, you know, in Destiny 2, I played a bunch of it by myself, but you and I also played a bunch, and lately it's mostly just kind of, I've just kind of been playing it by myself, and it's just not as much fun. I don't find it as much fun.
Gotcha.
And because I hadn't been kind of keeping up with it, you know, you do start to fall behind, and then you're just kind of, you know, they started instituting a bunch of different changes in regards to how you leveled up, and you just go, well, that's the, you know, like, well, I could kind of do stuff, or I could just wait and then get dragged along up to, you know, a certain level where I'm more at a level playing field. But, you know, the changing to the weapon system that they have out now, I would like to try out. Because it seems like it would be interesting, and hopefully, like, I have, that's the other thing right now. You know, my gun situation is not ideal. I'm kind of really, and that's just short, it's because I don't play enough and I don't think ahead. So I really am kind of locked into one loadout right now. And that's not fun.
It's, you know, and even if you weren't, you know, people complain about Destiny 2 all the time. And, you know, a lot of it's warranted, some of it's not. But the changes to the weapon system was probably my biggest gripe with everything.
Yeah.
In Destiny 2.
Yeah.
Know, because while I've never been how I, you know, particularly felt locked into a certain loadout, I could never get the loadout I wanted at either.
Right.
Because,
right.
Because I want, like Destiny, I want hand cannon or auto rifle or scout for primary. And then I always like the sniper or a shotgun for secondary. and then either a heavy machine gun or a rocket launcher.
Mm-hmm.
And you just can't do that in Destiny 2.
Right. And I mean, sniper rifles were super effective in Destiny 1. And
they have been awful in Destiny 2.
Yeah, they're useless.
Awesome. Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm interested to get back into that. The one thing, though, that did give me pause was reading that infusion now requires planetary materials.
Yeah, but I mean, it's the same thing as it's more like leveling up in D1 was, where you every time you wanted to upgrade a piece of armor or a gun,
had to have
all that shit.
Oh, I forgot all about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's vanilla D1. Everybody complained about. And they took out when the Taken King happened, but it was there for a long time.
Yeah, you're right. I forgot all about that. That's right. I forgot all about that. Huh. Well, honestly, it took me like an hour today, and I actually had to go back to school to figure out the difference between all the versions. I had a correspondence course. I had a tutor. What ended up happening was, this guy that I work with, who he used to play it, he just was like, you know, are you back in it? What are you doing? And I was kind of explaining to him what the different versions were, and it forced me to look them all up. Because up to this point, you know, you go to like whatever, Best Buy, GameStop, whatever, and you just type in Forsaken and fucking 9 different things for one platform come up. And I'm like, what is the difference between $40 Forsaken and $100 Forsaken? And so, so I think for me right now, $40 Forsaken is probably the way to go. I'm not convinced of the way they're doing the season pass. Like some of the events that I wouldn't have access to, I kind of don't give a shit about. So, you know, I think that's definitely one where, a difference of $5 between buying it all together or buying it separate is definitely worth it to kind of see what it ends up being. Because, you know, to their credit, they've been pretty good about giving quality of life upgrades to everybody. But one thing I didn't realize, and I didn't realize this was the same with Taken King, was that it requires the previous 2 DLCs.
Oh, does it?
Yeah. But Taken King did too, and I didn't realize that.
Huh.
And presumably it's because, you know, if the idea is that, you know, there's a prison breakout and you got to go fight these guys.
Go to Mars and
Mars, Mercury, you know, whatever. So I think at this point I'll probably be there Tuesday, and we can whatever be
sweet.
We can be Arrow together.
I'm there.
So hopefully Spider-Man doesn't disappoint now that they've reduced the number of puddles that's in it, which is really here's the thing that bothers me about that whole thing is, why are you even like if that just wants to be some fucking moron on Twitter and then a very kind and patient Insomniac employee who wants to just be like, no man, it's cool, we didn't downgrade anything, that's fine. But then no one should report on that. No one should report. No one should make that a thing, because that just gives it legitimacy. And then you get these people who, I mean, just ignore it. Ignore it. If my son came to me and said there was no moon landing, I'd just get the fuck out of here. Like, that'd be it. that would be it. You know, but yeah, I mean, come on. Like, really? And later on, the guy was like, no, later on in the game, there's tons of puddles. And I'm like, way to spoil Hydro Man. Thanks, Insomniac. Is that enough puddles for you, bitch? So anyway, I'm hoping it's
tragedy, the whole thing.
Say that again.
It's the biggest tragedy of the entire thing now, is like they fucking spoil Hydro Man for us.
Exactly. But I mean, my God, like, do you not, like, why, who cares? Even if they did, let's just say in that situation, they were like, hey, you know what? That particular puddle, it's very taxing. Like, we need to remove that puddle. Who gives a shit? Like, who, like, is that, like, what is going on in your life that you're just like, I got nothing but free time today. I'm going to, you know, just get irritated about a game I haven't played, comparing it to a build I also didn't play, based on some videos and a still motion shot of something that had been in motion. Yeah, that seems like a good use of my time.
Right. Yeah. Right. I can't imagine being legitimately upset about that.
Like I mean, you know, there's outrage Twitter or whatever, and then there's this, which is just, it makes no sense. Like at least, like if you thought they faked the moon landing, you could come up with legitimate reasons why that would upset you, right? Like,
sure,
you know.
Sure.
But this, who gives a shit? They could fucking get rid of every puddle. Like, it could be pouring in the game, and there's no puddles on the sidewalk, and I don't care. Honestly, you know what does bug me? I don't like the white on his hands.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
I don't know. One of the most exciting things I've seen from – not the most exciting, obviously. I'm excited to play the game, but I love that there's multiple costumes because I'm going to change that shit pretty quick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but I'm not a fan. Like, the white, to me, it looks like – he kept it white so he could use his phone.
Yeah, it looks like a mixture between like Ben Reilly, like Scarlet Spider, and Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I dig it or not.
Yeah. Hey, well, if he wears a sweatshirt with the arms ripped off, then I'm all for it. If that's what we get out of it. But yeah, the white, that's the only thing I'm not a fan of. But you know, other than that, I don't get it. I don't get it. But. Mm-hmm. Because I thought it was like a joke at first, and then I was just like, oh god, no, just no, no. But anyway, that's pretty much my life online these days, is just me going no, no.
Me too. I know it's just because I'm getting old, but I'm just every day I sit and I'm like, why the fuck do I read this shit? Why do I look at this?
Yeah, I do that too. Yeah, I. All right, on to good things. Real quick, we'll see how long it takes me to get through. So, when you fly internationally, you're in an airplane for a long time. Long time. Thankfully, the fine people at Delta, they don't do this whole shit where everybody has to watch the same movie. Everybody doesn't have to watch How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. They have individual little screens in the seat in front of you, and they have, you know, hundreds of movies, TV shows, tons of shit that you could watch. You could have watched Avengers Infinity War if you wanted to. You could have watched tons of new movies you know, you're there. What else are you going to do, right? So I watched six movies. I watched two movies on the way there. And then I tried to force myself to sleep, which never works. And then I watched four movies. I watched four movies on the way back, which I have never – in my life, I have never watched four movies in one day. I was on the plane for 9.5 hours on the way back. I watched four movies. Never happened before. Never have I wanted to watch four movies. Never would I want to watch them again. So, in order of what I watched, I'm going to tell you what I watched, how I felt about it. If you've seen it, feel free to chime in. Movie number one. This documentary that I had read about prior to going on the trip, was pleasantly surprised to see that it was there. It's called Three Complete Strangers. It is a story of these three guys in various parts around New York City who realize that they are triplets. They were – all three had been adopted. They did not know that the other two existed. What happened was the one guy – goes to college and everybody's like, hey, Eddie, hey, good to see you again. Hey, didn't know you. We thought you weren't coming back. And he's like, what the fuck are you talking about? And this guy comes up to him and was like, holy shit, you look exactly like him. And he's like, what are you talking about? So the guy brought him to this other guy who ended up being his brother. The newspaper come, tells a story about them. Their third brother reads the newspaper story, read that these two guys were both adopted from the same agency, born on the same day as him, and he goes, holy shit, they're my brothers. And then it kind of tells their story. Very well done, mostly because the one brother, and I can't remember which one, is an excellent storyteller. So it's called Three Identical Strangers. You should check it out. Movie number two, John Hamm in Beirut. which was a very good movie. John Hamm, Rosamund Pike, Dean Norris from Breaking Bad and Fame. Gary Sinise, Lieutenant Dan, he was in it as well. So basically, John Hamm plays a I don't know what his job was. He was some official in Beirut. Shit goes sideways at a dinner party one night. He gets the hell out of Dodge, comes back because the CIA asks him years later. And it's like a cool little, you know, it's kind of like a spy movie, except he's not really a spy, but you don't really know what's going on. You know, there's different competing interests in him, you know, trying to help his friend out. It's very good if you get a chance to watch it. And I like John Hamm, but I don't have any interest in Mad Men. So, you know, it's kind of tough. But so definitely worth watching. All right. So that was number two. Number three. So that was the way there. Sure. Way back, I decided to christen my flight with Ready Player One.
Gotcha.
Which sucked. So just was everything I thought it would be, which was just a fucking litmus test for bullshit minutia made into feeling like knowing who the grip on the original Ghostbusters was somehow makes you a better person and more qualified to do anything, when really it just makes you fucking annoying. Unless you were that guy and, or you know him cause you like, you know, married him or whatever. Anyway, but, it was everything I thought it would be.
I liked the Shining sequence.
The Shining sequence was great, except for the fact that they take what is legitimately one of the scariest movies and turn it into a fucking joke. But, you know, I didn't like it. And then all of the little things in the movie to me felt like they were put in there not out of any particular kind of homage to like the characters or the franchises or the things they represented, but just another layer of, well, did you get that reference? Did you get that right? Just a layer, another layer of fucking sweaty, you know, man, baby one upmanship, which I just have zero tolerance for. Zero, like none. I was surprised how much Tracer and Reaper were in there, though. That was, I was like, what? Are we really? You're going to put fucking, like, I love Overwatch. Don't get me wrong. It's the high point of my Friday night. I would not put it on the same level as the Iron Giant.
Right. Yeah, no, I know. There's,
And only because it's relatively recent, right? Like some of that stuff, thing, right? You could be like, this stuff has stood the test of time. Like the Iron Giant, even though it's compared to like, you know, Freddy or Jason or, you know, whatever, Back to the Future, it's still relatively young. But I'm pretty sure the Iron Giant is going to remain in, you know, but Overwatch? Yeah, who's to say, right? Like...
Well, for this generation, though, Mac, Overwatch is going to be, I think, viewed as one of the new classics. We'll see.
I don't know. If they really wanted to be on the pulse of humanity, it would have been 2.5 hours about Fortnite.
It's true. These days. Oh, fuck Fortnite.
Did you like it?
The Ready Player One? No. I liked the – I did like the – like I said, the Shining sequence. But the main thing that I got out of watching Ready Player One was, I was like, all right, I have to buy this because this is Jacob the movie. Like, he is going to eat this shit up.
Yeah, I could see that. I definitely could see that. Yeah. Yeah, I definitely could see that.
It's at his mother's house with him.
The thing that bugged me, too, is that whole, like, you know, his Artemis there, and I forget what her name was in the real world. She's like, oh, I hide in this digital world because I'm fucking drop-dead gorgeous, but I have a birthmark. Right. All right. I mean, can we not, like, why don't you, like, get, oh, while you're at it, why don't you put on some glasses and put your hair in a bun and we're all supposed to pretend like you're not fucking amazing? Come on. Get the fuck out of here with that bullshit.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay. So that was numero uno on the return trip. Second movie was Tully with
– Oh, I haven't seen that yet.
That's a good movie. So my wife kind of watched it first and I was kind of watching – her watch it, and I was, and I got, when I got done, I said, what'd you think? And she's like, I don't know. because I don't know what it was supposed to be. And I was like, shit, I gotta watch this fucking thing, because I, you know, I mean, that's perfect, right? Like a movie where somebody doesn't know how they feel about it when they're done, like, that to me is great, because it did something or whatever. It wasn't like a, nah, hated it, you know, or like, oh, it was amazing, you know. But Charlize Theron is fucking fantastic. Like, when you consider, like, this is, you're watching her in this movie, and she's 100% believable as this stressed out mother of three, and then you're like, you're motherfucking Furiosa.
Right.
Like, you're Furiosa, for Christ's sake. She's amazing. And and they, you know, the thing I like a lot about the movie is it is a very real depiction of parenthood, particularly motherhood. It's not all, you know, my baby is the most amazing special bundle of joy straight from heaven, and I can't wait for everybody on Facebook to see how much I love being a parent. You know, right. I mean, shit gets real, and it was great. I mean, I still don't – I'm not going to say I don't understand it. There's certain things about it I would like to see again, but I thought it was great, and I liked Ron Livingston was good, and it was just – it was great. There was one – I will tell you, this doesn't spoil anything. Her son is clearly autistic. And they just keep talking – they keep like – they talk about him as if in the Tully cinematic universe, autism is not a thing.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's weird because you're just like – this. It's 2018. Like, you can't swing a dead cat without hitting a TV show on network television where somebody's autistic.
Right.
And I'm not – that's not a joke. That's legitimately like –
yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
And so for the way the kid behaved and the way they danced around it or just didn't – ever say that this is what and I mean, obviously there is a spectrum. This kid is on the spectrum, and I just thought it was weird that they weren't like, they didn't just, they could have, the whole movie could have been exactly the same, not changed at one iota in terms of her, the way, the frustrations and the challenges. It wouldn't have mattered or changed it one bit if they had said he's autistic.
Mm-hmm.
Or he has autism, or he's on the spectrum, you know, however you want to put it. But instead, they're like, well, he's quirky, or, well, we're figuring it out. And I'm like, what the fuck is there to figure out? And I don't even feel like, you know, kids with his particular set of challenges are so unique these days as to where the people in the audience wouldn't be, you know, would be like, autism?
Right.
I don't, what is that? Like, thankfully, thank God. People know enough about it now to where you could point and be like, yep, that kid, here's what he needs. You know what I mean? Maybe not know everything, but at least have a kind of a basic understanding of what's going on. And maybe I'm more sensitive to it because I got, you know, one kid who's on the spectrum and the other one who, yeah, you know, depending on which way the wind is blowing, could be. But I just thought it was odd because it wasn't like the movie was set in the 70s where they didn't know. I mean, it's set now. Like, fucking Ron Livingston's playing Gears of War, you know, on his Xbox One, you know? So it was weird. But yeah, definitely check it out. It was very good. It was very good. Okay, so that was movie number two of four. Movie number three, and probably my favorite movie, and you're not going to like it because of one of the people who's in it, was Blockers.
Oh, I want to see that. I still haven't seen that.
Fan-fucking-tastic.
Yeah.
A great movie. Just, like, when you consider what the movie was about, which is three parents who realize their daughters are in a pact to all have sex on prom night, and they go to stop it, when you consider how it could go, very funny, heartfelt, surprisingly sex-positive, you know, all about, like, just a great movie. Like, this is a movie where I feel like you could watch it with your kid and they'd be like really icked out. But at the end of it, you could have a good conversation with them about, like, you know, hey, you know, here's kind of the deal. And it was really good. John Cena was fantastic. Like, he was fantastic. Like, when I consider there was like a kind of a stretch of movies where, like, you know, The Babysitter and So there was one with The Rock where he was like a babysitter, the pacifist, you know, Vin Diesel was the babysitter, this old tough guy in a domestic situation. And then, so, you know, John Cena, I mean, whether it was the writing, the acting, he totally avoided all that. And I mean, for a guy who's, you know, kind of as built and good looking as he is, they put him in a tucked in, you know, button down short sleeve shirt, cargo shorts, the fucking cell phone, the big smartphone on the belt clip, you know, like, and he just looked like a giant dork. And I mean, but it was great. It was funny. Like, I was laughing out loud a bunch of times, and my wife was watching she was watching movie number 4 while I was watching this one, and she kept thinking to herself, and I'll get into it, she kept thinking to herself, I should shut this off and watch what he's watching because he's having a fantastic time. So definitely Blockers, yeah, totally, totally worth it. Like, it was really, really good. Movie number 4 was Pitch Perfect 3, which was not good.
That sucks.
Yeah, was totally – I mean, I don't like to say movies are unnecessary, but if they had decided to just stop with 2, would have been totally great. Yeah, totally great.
I like the first 2.
I love the first 2.
Yeah.
Third one, honestly – I like Elizabeth Banks so much. I was so glad to see she didn't direct the third one.
Yeah.
Because I just – and not to say that whoever directed it did a bad job, but it was not a great script. It was all over the place. It didn't really know what it wanted to be. And it made a big deal about a certain aspect of something at the beginning of the movie that just didn't end up being a thing at all as the movie progressed. So it just was kind of all over the place. But, you know, directors are judged on the last thing that they made, so I'm glad that the last Pitch Perfect movie she made was the second one.
Yeah, seriously, because that's disappointing.
I mean, if it's on, like, if you see it on, like, whatever, cable or whatever, you know, watch it, but don't go out of your way or make any special effort or put any money down for it.
I almost bought it the other day. That's why we're talking about it.
No, absolutely, because I did too. I was like, shit, it's like $10, whatever. I have the first 2. No, don't. Yeah. Okay. Don't. All right, so that's it. So that's the 6. So now on to the good stuff.
Well, yeah.
What? This is the main event, so to speak.
It is.
I can tell you, personally speaking, it is rare for me to not know of a wide release movie, watch it, and then be like, holy shit, that was fucking fantastic. Yeah. Like, a lot of times you'll tell me about movies that I end up really enjoying, but I think we can agree they're not what you would consider to be popular movies.
Sure.
Or wide release movies, right? Like, they exist in a particular niche. But when you said I watched Upgrade, and I was like, oh, okay, I'll watch it. And I was like, well, how did I miss it? Like, I saw it. Like, it actually came out, like, relatively recent. It was, like, end of May or June.
Yep.
And I was like, how do I not know anything at all about this movie?
I sent you the trailer. Did I not send you the trailer?
Nope. I knew nothing.
Shit.
I knew nothing. One of the guys I follow on Twitter, and I forget the name of the podcast that they do, I remember seeing in his feed a little like a link to their episode about it. And the only reason I remembered it is because when, you know, you had said, oh, you watched Upgrade, I was like, oh, right, yeah, okay, that guy, yeah. But what a fucking great movie.
Yeah.
I mean, and Lee went late. Is it Lee? It'd be Lee. I should know. That's my sister's middle name. Yeah. Spelled the exact same way. Yeah. So Lee Wannell, however you pronounce it, he co-wrote Saw. You know, this is his, like, directorial debut. He wrote it. He directed it. And did more with less money than I think a lot of big budget movies. Like, there's a lot of big studio projects that could probably watch this movie and be like, oh shit, it is possible to make a great movie with a little bit of money and still have it look pretty fucking badass.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the camera work is inventive and fucking incredible.
Yes.
Everything about it is slick.
Yeah.
It's brutal.
Yep.
Like,
and that surprised me. Let's just set the stage real quick. So Upgrade tells the story of this guy named Gray Trace, which is kind of boring and nondescript name as you can come up with. And they live in some unknown city in the future when there's automated cars and everything is automated and whatnot. And one night, things go awry, and he had restored a car, like a classic car, for this kind of Elon Musk / Bill Gates esque inventor, industrialist, computer genius. And after delivering the car, him and his wife get in a car accident. Their auto driving car gets in a car accident. She gets murdered. He gets shot in the base of the spine and is paralyzed from the neck down. And the industrialist guy comes to him and says, hey, I made this chip. It's called STEM. It lets one thing talk to another thing. And this is one thing I will like about it. They gloss over that stuff. And one of my favorite things about Looper is when Bruce Willis is talking to what's his nuts, whose name I can never remember. Young Bruce Willis is talking to old Bruce Willis.
Wasn't it Gosling, wasn't it?
No. It's Dark Knight. Yeah. And he's talking about time travel, and he's like, the rules are complicated. And he doesn't even get into it. They just gloss right over it, because why get into it? So anyway, same thing. STEM, he's like, it lets anything talk to anything. I can put it in your neck. It can let, you know, the where your spinal cord was severed, it'll let your brain talk to your limbs. But you need to sign this NDA because they would make me wait years to do human trials. So Gray has it put in. STEM starts talking to him, and he realizes, hey, I've got a fucking supercomputer at my beck and call. I'm going to figure out who goes to kill my wife. And it goes from there. And like you said, it is not of – because even like when she gets shot and he gets shot, it's pretty typical action movie violence. It's not overly bloody or gory. But that first fight that he gets in, holy shit. That – you want to look at – I mean, you want to talk about what you just talked about with the camera work. Like we talked about Hereditary – how the framing of those shots was very much influenced by what was going on in the movie and how it tied to the dioramas that she did, which, you know.
Right.
This is very much the same because at one point Gray allows STEM to take control, and the camera work is such that it looks like, you know, like he's moving not just like a robot, but he genuinely is just along for the ride.
Yeah, yes.
And exactly. You've got these action scenes of hand-to-hand combat, and then the look on his face where he just is like, I don't know what's happening. I mean, you were in this first scene, which sets so much moving forward, and it takes a while to get there. And that was beautiful because it kind of builds and builds and builds, and then you have that first moment. And I mean, you want to talk about a way – like if you weren't already hooked already, between the camera work, the humor, the action, then the surprising gore. I mean, at that point, if you're not all in, I don't know what to tell you.
Right. I tell you the thing that immediately almost comes to mind for me was this is the most Paul Verhoeven movie I have seen in 20 years.
Yes.
Like this is RoboCop. This is Starship Troopers.
Yep.
Like this is action and humor, but fucking gore on a level that most horror films don't even strive
for.
Like,
and I was so surprised with the gore in that scene because it really did. I mean, you know, just to give you an example of the humor. So first of all, the guy who plays Gray, is a guy named Logan Marshall Green. And I mean, he's been in a bunch of stuff. You know, he was in The Invitation. He's in Prometheus. He was the first Shocker in Spider-Man Homecoming. You know, certainly, you know, he was in the TV show Damnation, whatever the hell that was. You know, a bunch of things. You know, I didn't really know him. He was good, but, you know, in the movie, but he's fighting this guy, and again, he's not in control. And he's hitting the guy in the head with plates and dishes and going, just stay down, man. Just stay down. Just stay down, man. Like, and it was And so you're kind of like, ha, ha, ha. And then the gore hits, and you're, and I actually went, holy shit, like out loud, holy shit, because I just did not expect it. And then where it goes from there, like, it's just, it's the Crow meets Equilibrium meets fucking Ex Machina meets RoboCop. It's all of these, it's like, it's almost like a less, I'm going to say overstuffed, but I know you're going to disagree with me on that one, a less overstuffed kind of sci-fi version of The Void, where it's all of these things coming together, you know, like all these different influences and things from that movie and that movie and that movie, but just instead of like, you know, kind of Lovecraftian horror slash slasher, more kind of body horror, sci-fi, you know, AI kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And it was fucking great.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. I think the thing that this has going, I didn't think of it that way, but you're absolutely right. Like, it's exactly what it is. The thing that this one has going for it, I feel like, is that the things that it sort of pays homage to or tries to sort of, you know, incorporate things from, they meld together better.
Yeah.
And this one has a more coherent plot.
Yes.
Like, you know what's happening and why. And that's where The Void kind of stumbles a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean,
yeah, you're absolutely right.
It was just, I mean, I it was the type of movie where I wish I had been watching it with someone, but only if they would do what I can't fucking stand, which is talk through it. You know, where like you could stop it and turn to each other and go, okay, you know, and then just kind of talk about what you both just saw, you know, to kind of watch it alone. Like, I mean, this movie must have been so much fun to watch in a theater full of like-minded individuals.
Yeah, I hate that it left theaters, and I don't even think it was supposed to have had a wide release, but I don't think it went everywhere.
Well, I think it did. I looked it up. I mean, I don't have any official numbers for the budget, but what I was reading when I was kind of reading reviews of it is they said it was around, they thought it was like $5 million. Mm-hmm. And it did domestically, it did 11, like 12 million. It did, you know, kind of 4.6 its first weekend. So, you know, and I don't know. I mean, you know, it didn't do a lot kind of outside the States. But this is one I will definitely buy on Blu-ray, if anything, just to give them more money. Just because it's a Blumhouse. Yeah. It's a Blumhouse movie.
Yeah.
But, man, what a – like – It's like when you, I mean, anytime you come across something, and it doesn't matter what it is, it could be an album, it could be a comic, it could be a book, mm-hmm. but something where you just genuinely didn't know about it, mm-hmm. and then somebody says, hey, you should watch this thing, and then you're just blown away. What a great feel. Like, that's, I mean, I've talked about it, and I will talk about it forever, but I love doing this show with you because of shit like this. Like, I never would have necessarily watched this if you hadn't said, hey, let's watch this movie, talk about it on the show. And man, I fucking love that we have that. Like, you, like, I just get to watch so much awesome stuff because you tell me about it. I fucking love it. Like, I mean, it makes my day. Like, you have no idea. It totally makes my day. And so this was great. Like, it was fantastic. And it was such a surprise. So.
Yeah. That's awesome, man, because, you know, I have nobody else to talk about this shit with. So the fact that I can tell you to watch something or mention you might like something and you actually fucking do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's rare for me.
Hey, man, I know I got kids. They don't listen to me neither. Okay, so the next movie is I enjoyed it. Don't get me wrong. I enjoyed it. I don't feel like it's a slam dunk in the same way that Upgrade is. But you'd be proud of me because midway through, I was like, okay, what is Boar? Let's just, like, do not evaluate Boar on merits it is not aspiring towards.
Right.
Let's look at what Boar is. And then let's look at what Boar is trying to be and let's see if it works for what it's doing. And once I made that shift, I was like, okay, I get it. And then I enjoyed it a lot more. Boar is exactly what you would think it is. It's about a giant boar. And not just a giant boar, it's a fucking giant Australian boar. Because every horrible thing of nature is amplified by a thousand in Australia.
And the fucking boar in Australia is so big, even the Australians are like, what the fuck is that?
So boar is, it's campy, it's gory. It tries to not show the boar.
I think it did. I think that was one of my favorite parts about it.
Yeah, but at first it was just the jaws, right?
Yeah.
And then it kind of showed more, and then you got the kind of the full boar experience. But I kind of felt like at the beginning when it was just like showing the mouth that it was trying to be like, okay, you know this thing is big, but we're not going to show you. We're not going to – not the full bull, you know. But – and then you're just like – the problem is at first you're like, well, is there not a full boar? Like, did you only make a mouth?
Right.
But
– that was my biggest fear too. Like, I remember seeing the trailer and I was like, it looks like there's a lot of practical stuff.
Yeah.
But – I kept waiting for the movie, and there's a couple of shots, unfortunately, that are CG, and they're not terrible.
Yeah.
Not really good either. But yeah, I was like, man, all I wanted was a full-on giant fucking practical boar. And for a lot of the movie, it does deliver that.
Yeah. But it's just – I mean, it's a typical – not typical in a bad way. You know, just like, you know, if somebody says, well, it's a typical macaroni and cheese. Well, in my mind, a typical macaroni and cheese is fucking amazing. I'll eat that shit all day. You know, but it's a slasher movie where the slasher is a giant. And when I say giant, I mean giant boar. And boars are assholes. Like boars are not, like, they're not, first of all, pigs can be not great. I had a friend, a guy I went to college with, and he had a pot-bellied pig. This cat, he was great. He was in my fraternity, and one weekend, myself and Linda and our friend Dennis, we went to stay at his house for the weekend. And so first he takes us to the barn where one of the dogs that was in the stall was a German Shepherd who didn't like women. And we were like, what? And he's like, yeah, that dog, he's fine with men. He barks at women. We have to keep him in the stall because he'll attack half the family. So we were like, okay. Then the next stall over, they had a Jack Russell Terrier that was so hopped up on crack that it would jump and you would just see its head come up above the stall door. And there he's like, yeah, he's hopped up on the goofs, so we don't let him in the house. Okay, fine. So you go in the house, and they had a ping pong table as their dinner table with a tablecloth on it as a dinner table. And he had a pot-bellied pig, and this pig was very cute and bigger than what you would expect, and it was smart enough that it would, with its mouth, roll down, push up your pant leg, and then push down your sock, and then fucking bite you full on the ankle.
Oh, Jesus.
Like, it would, like, you were like, oh, look, he's kind of snuffling my leg. And Roy'd be like, you don't want to let him do that. And you're like, why? And he moved that shit. Like, if he had hands, he would have been like, I'm going to roll this. He knew how to get to where the white meat was. And bam! And you're making dinner, and this fucker's trying to, and I'm like, pigs are assholes. Like, I'm glad I like eating them. Like, and so boar is just a country pig. That's all a boar is. It's a pig without book learning. Like, and so you know what I don't know why with a movie called Boar I went into it with any more, you know, with any greater aspirations than what it delivered. But, you know, when you kind of go, all right, it's a slasher movie, you know, with a boar, it was great. I loved it.
Cool. I'm surprised to hear that, actually. I loved it, but I love movies like that. Like, it's like I said about the Meg. It's just a giant monster movie. That's
well, I feel like this was better than the Meg, only because I don't know if maybe it's because, you know, the Meg had hundreds of millions of dollars behind it, and it ended up being Boar. Like, I feel like if you're going to be Boar, spend Boar money. Don't spend Meg money to be the Boar, right? Like,
The Boar spent probably, I would say, most of their budget probably went to the building the Boar, and then they spent a little bit on a couple of CG shots, and the rest of it was to pay Bill Moseley to be in it.
And here's the thing: when I was watching the Boar, like, fuck people up, I actually thought to myself, this is what I wanted the Meg to be.
Yeah.
You know, like, in terms of gore. You know, and we talked about that in the last show, but you know, it reminded me of, you know, movies like, you know, Piranha or Barracuda, you know, whatever. Like, these movies where you're like, I just really want to watch somebody get fucked up by nature. Like, that's all I care about.
Right. That's all it is. You know, and the funnier they die, the better.
Exactly. Like the woman, like the one woman who got fucking jammed through the face with the tusk, and he's just like, this is my best friend. Come live with me forever. I was like, wow, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So speaking of, though, country, while I was gone, you watched one of the best movies in the past few years, Logan Lucky.
I did.
Such a
man.
Yeah.
I hate that I slept on that.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. I bought the Blu-ray for like $6 on a website, and we were sitting here Saturday with nothing to do, and was thumbing through Netflix. I got hooked on The Sinner on Netflix.
Oh, dude, season 2 is so good.
Oh shit. Okay, so I'm a little over halfway through 1, but I watched that much of it in one sitting.
Well, like, season 2 is on right now.
Oh, okay. So yeah, I'm watching it on Netflix.
Okay, yeah, no. So season 2 is I think season 2 is better than season 1. But season 1 was great.
Yeah, well, so far it is, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And I was like, this are the movies that I bought in the last little bundle that I got. And I got, like, Eli Roth's Death Wish, which I still haven't seen. And
I got to watch that one, too.
So we can talk about that one, you know, at some point on the show if we want. But anyway, I watched it because you had told me how good it was, and that's why I bought it. And I was already interested in it. And so, yeah, you were fucking right, man. God,
yeah, it's great.
It was so good.
Yeah, it is. So good. It is great. I mean, it's funny, and it's, you know, I think that, you know, for a movie that appears to be kind of denigrating, you know, country folk, for lack of a better word, but then, you know, comes around and you know, and I mean, you just kind of realize that, yeah, they weren't stupid. Like, I mean, it was great. It, you know, I love heist movies. Like, I love heist movies, and I don't know how you couldn't. I still think that, you know, all these fucking middle-aged motherfuckers pay money to go to rock camp, and I had an idea for heist camp. Like, you pay and you plan a heist. Like, that's the camp.
Oh, that would be fun.
Right? Exactly. And you have security experts there. And they – right. And they, you know, they have – like, now the problem is it's a camp dedicated to teaching you how to commit an illegal act. But here's the thing. The whole – like, the end of year – the end of week project – but they could teach you things like – you could roll things into it, right? Like, you could roll – like, you could do an offensive driving thing if you wanted to do – you know, kind of firearms and stuff, you could do like hand-to-hand combat, like all that stuff. But the whole thing would be, my thing was that the end of week project would be an armored car heist, but no one can die. So heist camp is and maybe you're learning like hacking, maybe you're learning, you know, like whatever, anything. But the whole thing is that at the end of the week, you hit an armored car, and they stage it, obviously, but you hit an armored car, it's a heist, no one can die. And I think that would make a shit ton of money. And my wife is like, no, My wife was like, you can't do that. It's illegal. You're teaching people. I'm like, we'll deal with that. We have lawyers for that. But who wouldn't go to heist camp? Fuck rock camp, right? Who wouldn't go to heist camp? Like, who doesn't want to be Robert De Niro and Heat? Come on.
No shit.
Right? Exactly. So I love heist movies. I fucking love Daniel Craig. Like, he was...
He was oh my God. I had no idea. I've seen that dude in Bond, and I don't give a shit about Bond.
Yeah. And when you read about Daniel Craig, the interviews that he gives, he is an intensely private person. And he does not give a fuck about the typical Hollywood promotional cycle. So if you get in an interview with Daniel Craig and you start asking him shit that he doesn't want to answer, not only is he going to shut you down, he's not going to be very happy about it. So, and I respect that because I don't feel like a celebrity has to fucking tell you every, you know, their fucking underwear size just because he's in a movie. Yeah. But it does, when you read interviews with him, it paints a particular picture that when I read about the role he was playing in this movie, I was like, I don't know if that's something I'm going to believe. And he was fucking great.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. But,
he was almost unrecognizable. Like, yes. I was just like, shit, look at this guy.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
Yep. And then Adam Driver, I mean, I never watched Girls, have no interest in it, so all I knew him from was fucking Kylo Ren. And then, I mean, he was great. I mean, it's just a good movie. And you know, that's Steven Soderbergh, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so for like every fucking Ocean's 11, he does a Magic Mike. And I'm just like, I did not understand Magic Mike at all. Like, I mean, I understand the concept of it. And I like Channing Tatum just as much as the next guy. I'll watch him dance, but I don't need 2 hours of that. I'll just fucking watch him dance. Like,
I'm telling you, listen, I love Magic Mike too. It was fucking hilarious.
Right, but Magic Mike wasn't.
No, it took itself way too seriously.
I did not. And half the time, I'm like, do you not have a zoom on that camera? Can you not push a little closer in? Like, why? I'm old. I can't tell who. Like, why are we so far away from them? Like, Magic Mike, I just did not understand. And as much as I love fucking greaseball Matthew McConaughey, it's not enough to carry a whole movie for me. Right?
No, for certainly not. And it, like I said, took itself way too seriously for no reason.
Yeah, and I've heard Magic Mike 2 is great, but I haven't seen it.
Oh, it's hilarious.
Yeah, but you know what? And this is – okay, I'm going to say this because I don't want you to think that I'm equating the two. But if you like heist movies and you want to be pleasantly surprised, Den of Thieves.
Yeah, I almost bought that too just because we had talked about it.
Den of Thieves. Thank Gerard Butler, finally – hopefully can stop making these fucking Olympus Has Fallen movies, which are so just nasty and brutal and just not good. But yeah. Den of Thieves, you know, O'Shea Jackson was fucking great. Gerard Butler was great. Mm-hmm. It's Dollar Tree heat, but
yeah. You
know what?
Well, when I almost pulled the trigger on the Blu-ray, it was $4.
Oh my God, it's totally worth it for $4. Where the fuck are you buying $4 Blu-rays?
Well, I since I lost my Hastings in Auburn, I found this other franchise that is similar to Hastings, and they do have chains, but there's none here. But they do sell their – it's Family Video.
Okay.
They sell their shit online for dirt cheap. So
I was going to say, what are you – you have a guy who like fucking rips it in his basement?
No.
Jesus Christ. $4 on Den of Thieves, that's a fucking no-brainer. Yeah, it was great. I mean, and maybe that might be expectations talking, you know, because I like Gerard Butler. I'm just constantly waiting for him to be in things that are good.
Yeah, same here.
And I feel like this one, you know, I mean, it was – there was some stuff where you're just kind of like, what? Like – but I think as a heist movie, you know, I think it definitely works. And I love O'Shea Jackson. Like I think he's fantastic. So definitely.
Did you see Ingrid Goes West?
No.
Watch that.
Okay.
He's very good in that. And if you like Aubrey Plaza, it's very much worth watching.
I like Aubrey Plaza. I'm not a most of what I've seen her in lately is Legion, which I'm not a fan of.
Gotcha.
But
okay.
Anyway. Yeah, so there you go. So you got there's a whole bunch of movies.
Man, jam-packed.
Yeah, right? Exactly. No shit. That was a four in a day. It's funny because normally, like, I mean, I had my Switch, but the battery on it, like, that's the one thing about the Switch, like,
yep.
You know, they're like, it's a handheld. It is not a handheld. Like, nope. I mean, back in the day, you know, you could pack a DS on a fucking 10-hour plane ride, and that shit would just be like, bitch, please. Like, I mean, it would barely break a sweat. And now, you know, the Switch, depending on what you're playing, you know, those games look great, but you're fucking paying for it. So, you know,
taxing one I have is Zelda, but it taxes the fuck.
Well, Zelda looks amazing. And it taxes, it taxes the shit out of it. And the you know, one of the nice things about the airline is that they did have a USB charging port in. But the thing about the Switch.
Oh, yeah, you got to be careful.
It's really weird about what will charge while you're playing.
Mm-hmm.
So I rented Octopath Traveler. Sorry, this bourbon's kicking in. Because the people who did Bravely Default and Bravely Second made it. And I was like, perfect. But, man, I fucking did – I just bounced off that game just super hard.
Really?
Yeah, and I think it's because, you know, the idea is that there's eight different characters with eight different stories, and you can get them all in your party, but you never – they don't mix. You're basically – if you're doing, you know Cyrus, the scholar. If you're doing his story and you've got three other people in your party, there's no interaction. They're just bodies to help you in fights. So you would do his story and it will never intersect with anybody else's story. And then same thing with everybody else. So they make it sound like, oh, there's eight different adventures, eight different characters, and like somehow their stories are going to all come together, and they don't. Whereas at least in Bravely Default, like you had four different characters and they would talk to one another. They had different personalities. Their paths all crisscrossed and intertwined, and there was a reason to do one person stuff. But – and this there wasn't, so – you know, not only was it killing my Switch's battery, but I did the first chapter of half of the characters, and I didn't give a shit about any one of them.
Gotcha.
And so, I mean, thankfully, I rented it because if I'd bought it,
yeah, I almost bought it.
No, I mean, there's a demo. You know, play the demo. Demo gives you a good idea of the combat. But if you're going into it thinking, because they even show for like the promotional materials, all the characters around one table reading the same map, that never happens. They are completely separate from one another.
Oh, that's disappointing.
So I was like, you know, I was like, okay, well, what else do I have to do? My Switch isn't going to work. And I'm just kind of here in this metal tube, you know, flying through the sky. I guess I'll watch a shit ton of movies.
Yeah.
But so
thing on a 16-hour, 18-hour train ride to Philly.
So what's next? I'm trying to think what's coming out. Well, Predator, that comes
Predator,
out.
Predator, yeah.
That's not this weekend. It's next weekend.
Yeah. So yeah. I don't know. Oh well, no, never mind.
Yeah,
because I don't know. I know. I want you to watch Summer of 84.
Okay. And then what was the other movie you mentioned?
I saw Puppet Master: The Littlest Reich. I can't tell you that you'll enjoy that.
But there was something else when we were talking about like Logan Lucky and those movies that you mentioned.
Oh, Death Wish.
Death Wish. Yeah. Okay. So. But Predator, I'm excited for. I mean, Aliens vs. Predator. Those movies, they're kind of okay. Yeah. I mean, anything with Lance Henriksen in it, I'm happy to watch. But I love Predator, and I fucking love Predator 2. Not saying it's a great movie, but I fucking love it. So, you know, I mean, I think when the first trailer for this Predator came out, I know I was just like, but then, like, when more trailers came out, you kind of got a better understanding of what was going on. I was like, okay, yep, I'm good. We're good. Yep. So. But yeah, so there you go. So and then of course, you know, Destiny will be out next week. Spider-Man will be out a few days later. So we're gonna have to we'll have to fucking block off a bunch of time.
Yeah, yeah, it's
because we're getting into it, right? Like it's the beginning of September, so this is when it all starts coming. Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
So, but anyway, thank you everybody for participating and listening to the show and watching the streams and all that good stuff. We of course appreciate it. This has been episode 54, and we thank you so much for spending some time with us this week, and we hope you'll be with us in the next couple weeks. So for myself and Mitch, thank you again, good night, and have a good evening.